Hey there! Before you start tonight's episode, we wanted to talk to you about a brand new project that we're starting that we're really excited about. It's called Whose Dice Are These Anyway? It's a podcast where the stories are made up and the rules barely matter.
Join us every week as our bumbling crew of adventurers solve some mysteries, fight some monsters, and does terrible celebrity impressions.
Starting Thursday, January 26th, and every Thursday thereafter, you can find Whose Dice Are These Anyway on every major podcasting distribution platform. You can also find us on Twitter at Whose Dice. We hope you'll tune in for action, suspense, and uncontrollable laughter. See you then.
Hello, and welcome to The Guild That Keeps On Giving, a podcast about a group of friends and their thoughts, ideas, and experiences relating to D&D. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Patrick, and let's go talk to my friends.
Welcome to The Guild That Keeps On Giving, the show that regales with tales of glorious triumphs and epic failures among friends. This week, we are doing our playtest of the third Unearthed Arcana document for the 1 D&D playtest, and Matt's going to be our DM this week, so... You want to take it away, Matt?
Sure. I thought we would start, as we always do, with kind of character introductions, and then I'll give you a little bit of a world overview, and then we'll just jump right in, because I'm ready to play.
Me too.
Put me in, coach.
There you go. So who wants to start? Who's ready to share their character with the world and be judged for it?
Be judged. I'll start. So I rolled a flyer ardling, and I picked the eagle.
Boo.
Rather than the squirrel. I wanted to go with the squirrel. That was my first thing, just because it seemed funny. But I had rolled, we were doing the Wheel of Doom, so I rolled the eagle, flyer, ardling, and the ranger. I made him a background called the woodsman, and he is got the tough and charger feats. And I went with the standard spells recommended by the one D&D playtest.
Awesome. So you made up this background, like...
Yeah, I just made a custom background.
Perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next?
I can go.
Yep. When I said put me in, coach...
Right, he meant put me in
purely
last.
Referential.
I'm still making my character, and I don't know what anything about them.
So I rolled, very poorly, but I rolled a Goliath... Life Cleric. And we're all playing level 8, by the way, but I rolled so poorly that I wasn't able to take any feats. I needed the ASI feat just to keep my head above water, I think. And I'm of the Holy Order of Thaumaturge. His name is Dodo McDuh, and he is a Life Domain Cleric, like we discussed. And the feat he took at Origins, or Background, was Skilled. And it is a custom background as well called Wise But Not Wise. And
nice.
That's my guy. His name, I guess I already said, his name is Dodo McDuh. But that's it for me.
Awesome.
Okay. I am playing Dragonborn Rogue. I went with Black Dragonborn because it seemed fitting with the rogue. Named Click Tabish. I rolled and got practically the standard array. I think I got a 9 instead of an 8, but either way, pretty typical stats. I also just went with some ASIs because it was easier than trying to balance out feats. I figured we'll just test out the new rogue with a 20 dex and see how it plays. And that is it. Are we doing like character backgrounds, like where they come from, what their motivations are?
Sure.
Favorite color.
Yeah,
is
bachelor
blue.
Number three. What's your favorite color?
And Click, I think, was caught at an early age stealing from the church, and I think through various community service punishments, kind of befriended the local priest instead of just going to D&D prison. And they realized that someone of his particular skill set would be more useful for things like, you know, reclaiming holy artifacts and rehoming various relics and paintings and whatnots. So he kind of has a full-time side hustle working for the church.
Nice. Well, that's great. So just a little bit about the world that I told our players about, but haven't told you the audience yet. The world was once full of magic and wonder until 13 years ago when the sun inexplicably began to dim and threw the world into endless night. Now creatures who clung to shadows and darkness walk the world without fear. But not all hope is lost. When the sun diminished, an alliance of the faithful was formed, now known simply as the Church. The Church trains its clergy in hunting and extermination of monsters, as well as the scientific and arcane research required to return the sun to its former strength. This, just something to know about this world, travel in this world can be perilous for those who go without guides or protection. Any city or town not under the protection of the Church are quickly overrun by the undead and their allies. This is a dark, cold, unforgiving world that depends on its heroes to keep the flickering flame of hope alive before it's snuffed out forever. And ooh, that's a little back. Yeah, oh yeah. Ooh. And then lightning strikes.
Patrick will add that in post.
Yeah.
As soon as Patrick figures out how to add that, he will add that in
post. Yeah. Again, it happened, folks. Lightning is a visual medium, and unfortunately this is a podcast, but lightning struck.
That's, but there was no thunder.
There was no thunder.
No thunder, though. There's no mic for it. But
if any of you out there in the fan base want to purchase a MIDI controller board for me to do sound effects during these podcasts, you can do so. Email us. I'll give you the address.
Yeah.
If you need, I'll load up a soundboard for
it. So you're not ready for all my cues for Gregorian chants and
what I find
creaking
what I
doors.
Find awesome is that you give me the cues. That way, if I go back, I can go back to past episodes when I get one of these and then just add them as we go. Everyone will have already listened to it, but it'll be much better the second time.
We're just going to do the Gregorian chant live.
Right. Everyone's ready, right?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, that's the world. These are the characters. And unless somebody's got something pressing, I say we just jump right in.
I'm ready if you are.
Okay. You guys are returning to your kind of local cathedral in the town that you guys reside in, bringing up a wagon. The three of you are riding on the outside carriage seat kind of deal, and you pull up to the church, and the monks and nuns kind of come out and greet you, and hail and well met. How did the hunt go?
It went well, as always.
Excellent. All right, Padre, can I have the key to the back?
Is this a key I have, Matt?
Yes, absolutely. Just yes and this scene.
Okay.
Here you go.
Thank you, thank you. And they go and they unlock it, and in the back are some zombies that are chained up, and they kind of lunge at these people. And well, not quite as subdued as we'd like, but thank you for your hard work. The Monsignor sent a word that you're to report to his office when you returned. So whenever you get a chance to do that, go right ahead. And they take these zombies out to deal with them in whatever manner they're going to deal with them. And you're left there just kind of outside the church.
We'll hop off the cart, or I will, and...
Give me a jump action. You have advantage with your vestigial wings.
I do.
You gracefully jump right off the carriage and land perfectly on your maybe human feet? I'm not sure how our legs
little,
work. But...
Little flutter rings. I'll just flutter down. And... head in to see the Monsignor.
Yes, I go with. I go to see the Monsignor as well.
Excellent. Click, are you coming or are you hanging back?
Click is right there.
Okay, silent.
Silent and deadly.
There you go. So you guys go and you know where the Monsignor's office is. He's in charge here and he gives you your missions usually. And as you reach his door, it's kind of ajar.
Poke my head in.
I knock as he pokes it.
Yeah, I just push the door.
You poke your head in and your friend starts knocking on it at the exact same time. And an old human man is sitting behind the desk and he says,
yes, I've been expecting you. Please come in. How did the business with the zombies go?
It went quite well.
It went well.
As to be expected. The church has a new task for the three of you. If you would be so kind as to take a seat. And he kind of gestures towards like a couch in front of like a coffee table.
I'll sit down.
He grabs a, like, looks like a some parchment, and he takes it over to the table before you and kind of unrolls it. And you can tell it's like a town map. He says, "This is Lot 7B in the town of Lorest. It is abandoned, or it's supposed to be. It's a barren hill, and yet a fortnight ago, a mansion mysteriously appeared on the top of it. To make this worse, this mansion bears the crest of House Beaumont, a family that suffered a unexplained tragedy. They had a dinner party 2 years ago where everyone in the house was murdered, and before it could be properly investigated, the house was burned down, we believe by a lightning strike. The appearance of this mansion is troubling to the church for a number of reasons, and we would like to send the three of you in to investigate and discover what is going on, if there's a threat to the village of Lorest and its faithful subjects, and if so, we want you to deal with it."
Okay.
Absolutely.
I nod.
Yeah. This is like, this is why I give missions to Padre McDuh. He doesn't ask too many questions.
Nope.
Well, great. Head to Lorest and figure out what's going on.
Okay, is there like a time frame he needs this done, or just like as soon as possible?
Yeah, just kind of as soon as possible. He let's just shoehorn a different adventure in here real quick. But yeah, he's just like, well, we don't know what caused it to appear, and we don't know how long it will be here. Is also, we don't know what's going on. So, yes, we want you to investigate as quickly as possible. Okay.
I just meant as a player, were we supposed to, rest up or do anything before we leave?
Well, how far away is it?
It's a day and a half ride away. It's not far.
All right. Okay. Well, let's ride this half day.
Let's do it.
And rest on the road.
He tells you, he's like, I do have a few little last pieces of information. Before you go, the Beaumonts, one of the family members, Dr. Abigail Beaumont, was a preeminent scholar on solar research and returning the sun to its full strength. The night in question where everyone in the house was murdered was actually a kind of a dinner party or a kind of meeting of the minds of some of the preeminent scholars on the subject, including the church's preeminent scholar, Father Thormund Ron, God rest his soul. He like bows his head and kind of, yeah, does some hand gestures, vaguely religious hand gestures. And in addition to finding out what's going on with the house, if you find anything out about their research or if you find anything about anything that went on with them, that would also be of interest, kind of bonus points, if you will, if this were somehow a game and not a very serious mission that I'm sending you on. But that's it. Feel free to leave.
A bow and walk out.
I do the whatever here for vague hand gestures mm-hmm. you're supposed to do.
Right, yeah. It's the Church Beyonce, like, all the single ladies hand thing. And then you can go.
Nice.
All right, I do that then.
All right.
The door is to the left.
This is the musical episode.
Oh, please let it be.
Now all we need to do is buy the rights to all the songs.
All the songs.
Yeah, but he tells you, just make sure, you know, do whatever you need to do. But yeah, go investigate.
Very good.
ASAP.
I'll let the group know. I'll be ready in the hour. I need to resupply. And I will get rations and whatnot and supplies. But I also will go to my family and check in with them because I'm very close with my family.
Okay.
The Ardlings have served the church for generations.
Padre McDuh doesn't really have a family. He was raised sort of by the church.
Okay.
His family like took, you know, they spent a few years with him and realized just how ridiculous he was and just dropped him off at the church, and he's been raised there the whole time.
A classic priest story.
But he'll go to his room in the rectory and, I don't know, polish his maul or something, or his mace.
Okay.
Yeah. Polish his maul.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we don't need to know everything that he does in his private time, but...
I wasn't even trying to go for an innuendo.
I know.
Oh, man.
All right, so you go visit your family. Is there something? Do you want to play this scene out, or do you just
No way do I want to. Okay. I'll just return in an hour with supplies.
Cool. That's great. That's how I'd also like that to go.
Okay.
Click, do you got anything you want to do?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
He stands perfectly motionless and waits in the corner of the room.
Click is like, just like a lizard.
I have pet lizards that do that for hours. They don't move.
There you go. Well, he's Dragonborn.
Dragonborn, not lizard, but reptile.
But yeah, it's just that awkward time where everyone else has something to do, but you don't. But it's also not enough time for you to go start something new, so you just gotta wait there. Just
kind of chill.
So yeah, we're just gonna fast forward to you're in Lorest, if that's fine with everyone.
That sounds awesome.
No random encounters on the road?
Nah, we don't have time for that. This is a one shot.
Okay.
You'd crush it anyway. You're all level 8, and they're all intelligence-based, so McDuh just knocks it all out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Killing it.
It's just nothing but Rubik's Cubes along the road.
All day, baby.
He's just Mr. Magood his way through the priesthood so far.
That sounds right.
To do it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you guys roll up in on Lorest, which is just kind of a quiet town. There's fortifications because this is a kind of dark post-apocalyptic world that you live in, so every town has some fortifications, but they let you into the wall, like, you flash your, I don't know, church badge. I know how religion works, and they let you in, and yeah, you're in town. You can see the hill is, kind of in a dominant space, so you can see the house up on the hill pretty much from anywhere in the town.
I'd like to go to the town leaders or sheriff or constable or whatever this town would have, mayor, and...
they have all of those things, so you're going to have to pick one.
Oh, okay. probably the sheriff would be the most useful.
Okay. He says, howdy, partner.
Greetings and well met. We're here to investigate the return of this building.
I don't know what you mean by return. This building's never been here before. And it's here now, and it's upsetting folks around here.
Interesting.
And he just shoots his gun out into the air.
Love it. Yosemite Sam is in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what can you tell me about it?
He's like, it showed up a fortnight and some change ago. You know, obviously the sun has dimmed, so all of it feels like nighttime. But you know how we can tell when it's like daytime versus nighttime. Well, anyway, when we woke up that morning... this was there, and it wasn't there the day before. And I don't think we've got a large enough Amish community here in Lorest to be building houses in the middle of the night with nobody noticing.
They are efficient builders. What was there before?
It was just an empty hill. It was a public space.
Mm. Does anything come out of it?
Out of the hill or out of the house?
Out of the house. Have you seen any movement, any...
No, I cordoned it off. I don't let nobody get too close to houses that show up out of nowhere. That's a policy.
That's a very fine policy. Yes.
I'm glad you approve.
So it's cordoned off.
How many Amish do you have in the town currently?
3.
That's not enough to build a house.
That's what I said. At least four.
Yes.
I'm telling you, the mayor thinks it's them. I think he's wrong. I don't think there's enough.
How big are they?
Medium size.
Are any of them illusionists with perhaps...
No, you know Amish don't mess with magic.
No, it's true. They're not Mennonites, am I right?
He high-fives you.
Wow. Okay. Let's. We're going to go directly in then.
You're going in?
Yes.
I don't think that's a good idea. I cordoned it off. I think it's a bad policy to let people into haunted houses.
He did just say that.
We go where the church tells us to go.
Oh, I see. You were sent by the church. Okay. Well, good luck. And if you come out, make sure you're acting normal. Because if you're acting weird or possessed or something, I'm going to start shooting.
This is also good policy.
That's why they call me Jeff Good Policy. That's my name.
Thank you, Sheriff Good Policy.
We can act as normal as we do now. Is that a fair compromise?
Oh, yeah. I just mean like normal for the goofballs that make up this world.
Okay, good.
If you're stumbling and you're groaning, I'm going to think zombie, you know?
Right.
If you're floating and your head's like twisted around behind the wrong way, like I'm going to think like possessed by a ghost, something like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what tricks you guys are into. You mentioned illusion magic. I just don't think... I'm just letting you know if you think this is going to be like a fun prank, you're going to get hurt.
Have you been in the house yourself?
Once again, I refer you to my first policy, which is I don't let anyone go into the house. I have also not been in.
You just seem so confident about the pain that we would suffer.
No, I just have a vivid imagination, that's all.
Yes.
What allows me to come up with these good policies.
That's, you know, I see the trend here. I have no further questions or comments.
The rogue rests.
I resume my T-pose.
Yeah, about the rest of you.
Let's go to the house.
All right, good luck. He gives Bye. You a tip of the hat. Yeah.
Bye, Sheriff. Good policy.
May our luck be as good as your policies.
I hope for your sake it is. And he lets you go.
I love this character right now. Oh my god.
The best is when you said, like, the sheriff or constable or mayor or whatever. Those characters did not exist, but I was like, depending on what they say law enforcement-wise, that'll dictate the accent.
I did pick sheriff.
You did.
Can we go talk to the constable now?
Yeah. Cheerio, good man!
Right. Directly to the house.
See, sheriff, I told you we should be going in the house. This is Constable Bad Policy.
Right.
I would like to place an order for some furniture before we leave.
Mm-hmm. Where do we find these Amish people?
Right. I mean, they can't build a house overnight, but they could build, like, a chair.
Mm-hmm. You know what's weird? You can't find them.
I bet they're in the house.
Sheriff, fake policy, or, like...
I mean, they could just go
missing.
I'd like
to roll survival to check for Amish.
Go right ahead.
I was about to go to my roll 20 sheet that does not exist. That is a 17.
Okay, you find their house, and like you see a half-made chair, and there's no one there.
Mm. Zombies.
Yeah. Please Vampires insert some sort of scary sound here, Patrick. There it is.
Tell the sheriff the house must be burned.
I don't know.
It's church policy.
The Amish house or the haunted house?
The Amish house.
Oh, just okay. All the
before
houses
it becomes
in town.
A haunted house, you
gotcha,
know?
Gotcha.
You just got to burn all the houses in town.
Mm-hmm. They must relocate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we start walking up to the house.
As you walk away from the Amish house, the camera cuts into a piece of paper that's floating in the wind. And then it, like, stops on a tree as it, like, gets stuck there and it says, ran out of chair material, be back in half a day. Uh-huh. And then it, like, flutters away into, like, a torch and lights on fire and disappears. And you'll never know what happened to the Amish family.
That's too bad their house will be gone before they get back.
How did, you know, they say you can't plan for your party shenanigans, but, like, this is, I have this written down.
You should know. We're going to burn shit down.
That is right,
classic MO.
Mm-hmm. Are you, so you get to the front door. Mm-hmm. There's all these Bormont family crests, like, on it. It's clearly Bormont Manor. And what would you like to do?
I bang on the door.
Is it locked?
Go right up to the front door.
This is my favorite bit, is three people try to interact with the same door in three different ways all at the same time. Yeah. So you bang on the door, you turn the handle, and it opens like it's not locked. Yep. So your banging kind of just kind of pushes it open after the second hit, and it's no longer latched.
That's just teamwork then.
Great. Yeah,
it is. It works perfectly, but I feel like it comes from a place of... I can't believe that
perfect
actually
synergy
worked.
And cooperation. A team that has been honed into a fine tool over many, many adventures together.
That sounds right.
All
right.
Yeah. I draw my moon sword and step in.
Okie dokie.
That gives me 15 feet of bright light and 15 feet of dim light after that.
It sure does. And you are now, or you should find yourselves on a map. You might need to move your character slightly just to trigger.
I should have given you a portrait from my character, but thankfully you found the exact picture I was going to send you.
Yeah, so I was like, oh man, Weston never sent me a picture. Like in the middle of last night, I was like, should I text him? Is it too late? Or like, and Kara was like, you're his friend from forever. Just find a picture on Facebook or something. And so then I tried to do that. You don't have a Facebook.
I don't have a Facebook anymore.
So then I went to your mom's Facebook and I found this photo.
That feels right. She would love it. Was that when we were at Disneyland? Frankly, I have no idea when that photo was taken, but I look smarmy as hell. Mm-hmm. So it's accurate.
I was going to like scour for like an embarrassing photo, but then I was like, that's going to take too long. So then I just stopped and found the first one that was just you.
Perfect.
Anyway, yeah, you guys walk into an entry hall. The entry hall of the manor is a slightly bizarre affair. A large table sits in the center of the room, surrounded by paintings of monsters on the wall. A lone siren dragging a sailor beneath the waves, two mummies stumbling through a crypt, a single troll howling into the night, and finally a half dozen death knights rampaging through a village are depicted in the various frames on the wall. There's also a large fireplace that is carved with elaborate renditions of the Bormont crest. And in the center of the mantle, you can see there's like a plaque mounted on the fireplace.
All right, I'll go to the plaque and then investigate that, check that out.
Okay. You don't need to roll anything for this because you can read. Well, let's start with, can anyone not read before we get too far into this?
I can read, but it's real slow.
Okay. Well, if you read something, just let me know and I'll read it normal.
Okay.
When someone else reads it, edit it to make it sound better.
Okay.
The plaque says the following. It says, "The Bormonts have long fought the darkness and charged after the truth. When fighting the shadow, it can be hard to know where to start. Count on your enemies to reveal the source of the secret. This room is dedicated to the defeat of all monsters within."
Ah. Well, let's go look at these paintings and investigate those.
Okay. You can roll investigations or perceptions, or if you have some other idea of an applicable skill, you can tell me why you should get to roll that.
I got a 14.
Stealth.
Perception is stealth.
Oh, I got a 20 perception. Oh, wait. Okay. It rolled with advantage, and I don't know why. Let's see if I can fix that.
And yeah, so click, you can stealth around to make sure the paintings don't see where you go. But yeah, these paintings just seem like really fancy, well done oil paintings of what I described, and I can describe them again. But yeah, it's like you go up to, I don't know. It doesn't really matter the order in which you look at them, but there's, like I said, a lone siren dragging a sailor beneath the waves. There's one that's two mummies kind of stumbling through a crypt. There's one that's like a outdoor scene with a single troll howling into the night. And then probably the most visually spectacular of them is this kind of band of a half dozen death knights rampaging through a town, like through a village, killing people.
What does my 31 stealth get me?
Your 31 stealth, the paintings don't know where you are.
Perfect.
Well done.
Everything going according.
I'm actually a little confused too. Like you, wherever you are on the map, you're always right behind me and I can't see you.
That sounds true without a third. I don't think he needs a 31 to pull that trick off on you, yeah, in particular.
Those numbers could be completely reversed.
As in they could be a 13?
Yeah, correct. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're just north of 10, you can probably... What is your passive perception? I'm sure it's actually not that bad.
It's but... not that bad. That's the one thing I made sure I took. My passive perception is 17. So it's really actually, it's fairly good.
It doesn't matter. It's still funny for the purposes of the bit. If sure. That's like, if 13 really would be enough. But anyway, that's what you see walking around this hall.
Do we see any other doors in the room?
Yes, there is a door to the north and there is a door to the east.
I'd like to go to that one on the east and just open it.
Okay.
Join us next time when we continue our playtest of the third 1D&D Unearthed Arcana. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Guild That Keeps On Giving. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, or whatever your favorite podcast service. Also, don't forget to like and share our Facebook page, The Guild That Keeps On Giving on Facebook, our Instagram at TGTKOG, and our Twitter at T_G_T_K_O_G. For all of us here at The Guild That Keeps On Giving, thanks for listening and have a great week.